United States v. Rodriguez, case number 22-2038.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Amanda Skinner and I'm here on behalf of the appellant, Mr. Rodriguez. A de novo review of this record does not support the finding that there was reasonable suspicion for the stopping agent to pull over Mr. Rodriguez's vehicle. When we look to the Brignone-Ponce factors, we would submit that the first four factors, characteristics of the area, proximity to the border, usual traffic patterns, and previous experience of the agent with alien traffic, those are essentially fixed factors. Those are factors that would apply to any vehicle driving down that road at that point, being observed by that agent. It's really factors 5 through 8 that are sort of the heart of the discussion in this case. And I'd like to jump right into factor 5, information about recent illegal border crossings in the area. There was testimony at the suppression hearing that this agent's he and his colleagues had stopped many alien smuggling schemes that week. This is an area that was, you know, there was testimony that's routinely used for smuggling schemes. But factor 5 also goes to the BOLO in this case. And the BOLO in this case was very nonspecific. The quote at the suppression hearing was, an agent observed a gray SUV that had possibly made an incursion over the international boundary and or had loaded up in a border area and was continuing north on Highway 80. So we have some qualifying language there. Basically, somebody saw a gray SUV. This originated from the Douglas Border Patrol Station. The government supplemented the record to include the exhibits from the suppression hearing, and there's a map. Douglas is not on that map, but there was testimony that the station is at the international border with Agua Prieta. That's at the southernmost point of the maps that you have in the record. So this BOLO originated, as conceded by the officer, from an area 50 miles from where he stopped Mr. Rodriguez. And so when he noticed the vehicle 5 minutes after receiving the BOLO, it was not reasonable for him to assume that this was the vehicle from the BOLO. There was limited direct and cross-examination testimony of the agent with respect to timing, and his only testimony on this issue was that there was no information given for when the vehicle was seen, but he knew it was imminent. And so if it was imminent from...
Meaning the vehicle was seen at the border. Imminent.
Yes. And that would be our argument. I mean, there wasn't a lot of context given, but that's our argument, that if you imminently saw a vehicle at the Douglas Border Patrol Station, it is not reasonable to then determine that the vehicle you see 5 minutes after receiving that BOLO 50 miles away, that is the same vehicle. So we would ask the court to take that into consideration. With respect to factor 6, the driver's behavior...
I didn't see that the district court discussed that point.
The district court did make a finding on page 11 of the order. Quote, it was reasonable for the stopping agent to believe that the Jeep matched the BOLO description.
Yeah, I'm talking about the more specific point that I think you make, which is he gets the BOLO, and 5 minutes later... The BOLO, which was apparently 50 miles, occurring 50 miles away, about an incident occurring 50 miles away, and 5 minutes later he makes a stop. Was there anything about that from the district court?
There wasn't, Your Honor, but we're on a de novo review, and this court needs to review findings of fact to determine if they're clearly erroneous, and we would submit that it's clearly erroneous to not address.
Did you make that argument? Did you make that connection below?
We did. I do not believe that we explicitly made that argument below, but because we're on a de novo review, and because it is such a clear error, such a big point, we would ask the court to take that into consideration. With respect to factor 6, the driver's behavior, district court properly didn't give this factor much weight. There was testimony from the agent that he thought that the vehicle crossing the center line was an acknowledgement that the driver had seen him, and the district court properly said, you know, I'm not going to give that much weight. This was an unmarked unit. And I'd ask the court to look at Arvizu, Barron Cabrera, Chermaya, Miranda Enriquez, and Quintana Garcia. Those are cases where marked Border Patrol vehicles were seen and someone reacted. Here we have a driver going the speed limit, and the district court not really crediting anything about his behavior to go to factor six. Factor seven discusses aspects of the vehicle, station wagon, large vehicle. Those are things that the court has typically relied on. In this case, it was a Jeep, but we'd ask the court to consider one of the cases that we cited, the rider truck case, Barron Cabrera, that, quote, we cannot accept a per se rule allowing a rider truck to automatically satisfy prong 7 and 8. You know, in that case, there were additional factors. The agent testified that when he saw rider trucks, typically they were towing a vehicle or another vehicle was riding in tandem with them. There's nothing specific about this Jeep, other than the fact that it's an SUV, that would give much weight to factor, 7. And the government agrees that factor 8 doesn't apply here. The vehicle did not appear to be heavily loaded. In terms of that bolo, there's another piece of information specific to this vehicle that is important. The bolo was for a gray vehicle. The agent in this case did a registration check prior to pulling over Mr. Rodriguez, and he knew when he did that registration check that he was following a gold Jeep. So the color did not match. And
the district court did make a finding about that it was reasonable to, especially with this vehicle being dusty, it certainly could have looked to be gray.
And that's true.
And that would be reasonable for the officer when he pulled up and saw that it was pulled the registration and thought it was a gold vehicle, and saw it was a gold vehicle to think perhaps the Border Patrol couldn't see
it. So even with the district court crediting, that it gray and gold could be close, there's something else important about that registration check. That registration check revealed to the agent before he stopped Mr. Rodriguez that he was following a car whose home registration was in Duncan, which is north of Rodeo. And the agent testified that there's no direct route from Rodeo to Duncan, but if you were traveling north out of Rodeo and headed to Duncan, you would be on Highway 80 and you would have to link up with Highway 10. So we did argue that Mr. Rodriguez was on the most direct route to his area of home registration. And there are a number of cases that we cited, including Arvizu, Gandara, Salina, and Westhoven, where a registration check revealed information to the agent that would call into question the path of travel. Arvizu specifically revealed that this vehicle in Arvizu was registered to an address 4 blocks from the border, notorious smuggling area. That gave the agent more. And in our case, part of the argument about the error is that this really wasn't considered by the district court, that we have some of these things that really should have dispelled any sort of hunch that the stopping agent had. And we cited a Sixth Circuit case, Bell, because that analysis is very helpful. It basically says that, even when the government points to several factors that the court has recognized as valid considerations in forming reasonable suspicion, they may not together provide reasonable suspicion if they're all relatively minor and subject to significant qualification. So I think the distance from where the bolo originated and the fact that the vehicle was on the most direct route to its home registration area give us significant qualification. And really the only other two factors that are present here are the observation by the agent that the windows were tinted and there were out-of-state plates. With respect to the window tint, I just want to point out the photographs of the vehicle, for specifically 5 and 6. Those vehicles don't show tinted windows on the front driver or passenger side. It's possible the windows are rolled down in the photo, but there's no evidence in the record about why we're seeing the vehicle presenting that way with either unrolled or untinted windows in the front. And with respect to window tints, we cited a suppression hearing in front of a magistrate judge, U.S. v. Johnson, where the court found it's hardly uncommon for vehicles in general, and particularly in southern Arizona, and we would submit the southwest, to have tinted windows or window screens. And with respect to the out-of-state plates...
There's also case law, isn't there, indicating that tinted windows can be a factor?
Yes, they can be a factor, but again, under totality of the circumstances analysis, we're arguing that there just simply isn't enough here. To borrow language from Frazier, which Judge Seymour authored, reasonable suspicion is a low bar, but it's not that low. With respect to the out-of-state plates, the government cited Mendez, and that's a case that also includes this area of New Mexico, rodeo specifically. And in that case, the court said, in this case, the significance of an Arizona plate is diminished due to rodeo's proximity to the Arizona state line. And so this is another factor, you know, when you look at how the Sixth Circuit treated this in Bell, that really gives a significant qualification to any factors that could potentially push the analysis over the reasonable suspicion bar. And I'd like to reserve my remaining time for rebuttal if there aren't additional questions.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Casio.
May it please the court. My name is Luke Rizzo. I'm an AUSA in the District of New Mexico. This court should affirm the lower court's decision that under the factors articulated in the seminal case Brigani-Ponce, Border Patrol Agent Campbell had the requisite reasonable suspicion to stop the suspect vehicle to investigate a potential smuggling offense. That decision was based on the lower court's factual determinations. Them being in pertinent part, that Agent Campbell knew Highway 80 was a highly used route for trafficking. The area where the vehicle was stopped was just about 50 miles from the international border. There was a lot of recent alien smuggling in that area. The Border Patrol agent, he was able to testify there were 8 encounters the prior week leading to this incident. Regarding the vehicle's appearance, the appellant's vehicle, it was covered in a layer of dust and dirt. There was a visible handprint on the back window of the vehicle. This all played into the agent's formation of reasonable suspicion. He, based on the BOLO he received, he believed the vehicle was driving off-road, collected the dirt and dust, and then there was a loading event.
What about the BOLO indicated the vehicle was driving off-road?
Well, the BOLO he received was from, it was from his station. It was in Lordsburg, New Mexico. He received that BOLO as he was patrolling Highway 80. The BOLO said, be on the lookout for a gray SUV driving north on Highway 80. 5 minutes later, he sees what he believes is a gray SUV driving north on Highway 80.
What do you say to counsel's argument that the BOLO was about something that they had just seen and then sent this out, and this is 50 miles away from there?
Well, I think it's a fair point. And I would also note, on the record, it's alluded to, but maybe perhaps not explained fully, the nature of the BOLO in the realm of law enforcement. So when Agent Campbell, he testifies, when he receives a BOLO, that means to him, he needs to be on the lookout right now. That's why dispatch gives that to him. That's what he does. Now, that BOLO, the way it's communicated to him, especially along the border where these agents are covering a vast amount of territory, the nature of how that's generated may not have come across quite clearly on the record, but what happened, what is on the record and what we do know is that in the Douglas, Arizona area, which is right on the border, there's a Border Patrol agent who witnesses a vehicle, as it's described in the BOLO, potentially coming across the border or making a pickup.
This is in the record?
That is on the record in the sense that we know, well, we know what about the incursion event.
We know somebody saw something something going on at the border.
Yes, and it was and a Border Patrol agent.
The BOLO relates to what went on at the boat,
at the border. Correct.
And you know that this agent is 50 miles away from the border when he gets the BOLO.
So Your Honor,
why is it reasonable for him to think, oh, okay, this happened at the border, 50 miles away, I see this vehicle.
I was trying to, I'll get to that right now.
Why is that reasonable?
So that BOLO, well, okay, so I should say the initial observation, we know that happens at the border. That agent relays that to his station, which is the Douglas, Arizona station. They quite clearly lose track of the vehicle. So they put out a BOLO to the Lordsburg station, which is about...
We don't know. That's not in the record, is it?
Well,
it is. That
they
lost track of the vehicle and that they put out a BOLO because they lost track of the vehicle?
Well, so again, I think it is...
That's important.
I think the agent, he testifies, he receives a BOLO from his station.
Yeah.
From his dispatch, from Lordsburg.
Right.
Lordsburg is not on the border. It's about...
Right, I understand. 50 miles.
So Lordsburg received that information from...
Tell me what's on the record about this timing issue. What does he know about when this border intrusion occurs?
Agent Campbell doesn't know when it occurred.
Okay, so that's what we know. He doesn't know anything. He just knows there's been a BOLO from something that happened at the border. 50 miles away.
I wouldn't say he doesn't know anything.
I want to know what's on the record. We can't assume he knew anything other than what you told us, which is he got this BOLO.
I guess I can't argue with that, Your Honor. We know that he received the BOLO, and then immediately he sees a vehicle that matches the description of the BOLO.
And then he does a registration check and sees that this is not a gray SUV, but a gold SUV. And it's registered to someone who lives north of there, quite a distance north of there, and quite a distance from the border.
That is correct.
And that this is going in the most direct way towards that home address. The vehicle is, right?
Nothing on the record that indicates where the vehicle was going. Duncan, Arizona.
Well, the officer testified that this would have been the most direct route. There isn't a direct route, he said, to the city where the vehicle was registered.
Duncan, Arizona, Your Honor.
But he testified specifically. He said, yes, this Highway 80 would have been the most direct or best route to get back home, basically. So he knows all of that. In addition to... So what does he have now that's creating the suspicion that this is the gray vehicle that they see on the border 50 miles away?
So he doesn't know where the vehicle's going. It's presumed because...
But that's important. We know from our VSU that it's important, for instance, that vehicle was registered to an individual who lived four blocks away from the border. So it's a factor, and it's something this officer considered.
Your Honor, what is also on the record is that when the agent, when he does a registration check, it does come back as gold. The vehicle is in fact gold. But from his testimony, he doesn't pick up on that. He doesn't know.
Does he say one way or the other whether he picked up on that?
He does. He says he realizes it was in fact gold well after the arrest when he's back at the station.
Okay.
And it's in the lighting as indicated in those exhibits. That's part of the mistaken fact that the court found to be objectively reasonable.
Okay. So we know he knows that 50 miles from the border, this vehicle is headed towards a location that makes sense, headed north towards the location it's registered to, and it's potentially a gray SUV. That's what we know. And that's all we have.
Well.
What else? Anything?
Of course, Your Honor. We have the BOLO, as the court has discussed. And the appearance of the vehicle, as I was indicating, the dust covering the vehicle. The BOLO does indicate a border incursion. A lot of these areas are, this is a rural area. In and of itself, it certainly wouldn't be out of the ordinary for a vehicle to be dirty. The agent, again.
I think that's probably true, but I didn't see that the officer testified about that. I didn't see anything about the dust.
A layer of dirt?
I mean, he didn't say it was uncommon for vehicles in that area to have a layer of dust, did he? I mean, what makes the layer of dust on an SUV in southern New Mexico be particularized?
It's the totality, Your Honor. It's the totality of every fact that the Border Patrol agent gathers, from the bolo to his pursuit of the vehicle to his observations. A lot of it has to do with, you know, I think the appellant, to put it kindly, I would say they brush aside Brigani-Ponce factors, the first five. Oh, those are always applicable, but I mean, that's not always the case, and Brigani-Ponce was crafted with the purpose of the border, with the purpose of those factors. If they're there, that adds to reasonable suspicion. Now, no one factor is dispositive, that's obvious, but all of those factors do matter. The location, the geography, the recent smuggling activity in the area. This is the borderland, right?
Appellate counsel makes a point that it is a totality of the circumstance review, and the district court, in making that review, didn't even factor in the whole registration plate information. The fact that this was registered to a vehicle that was some distance north of there, that it was traveling on a path that was the most direct route there, it made no findings about that. So did the district court perhaps miss some important circumstances, including the timing issue? It made no findings about that.
No, Your Honor.
It seems like an obvious issue in determining that it was reasonable to believe that this was the vehicle. When did this vehicle cross the border?
Well, Your Honor.
Why would he think it was 50 miles away? I mean, the district court didn't make any findings, is my point, on those points.
Well, I think there are findings in the sense that we know where the vehicle is registered. We know that, I mean, the Arizona plate.
But the significance of it, the district court didn't consider.
I don't think the court, I think the court did consider the significance of that. I think it just took all of these facts and, again, using the totality and the factors that Brigani-Ponce lays out, it's on the record where the vehicle is registered. Where the vehicle is going, that is not on the record. I just want to reiterate that because I think it's an...
We don't know where... Yeah. We know what the officer testified about.
Understood, Your Honor. And I guess maybe it's difficult based on what is on the record and what the agent testifies to specifically about the timing of the bolo. I'm aware that the appellant raises that and the court is questioning that. And it is on the record in the sense that the agent says a bolo means be on the lookout right now. So it would be, I just think it would be odd to suggest the bolo means the opposite of that. An hour now, from now, maybe tomorrow. That's not on the record, and
what
it also
area
doesn't
did the
make
bolo
sense.
Go? Is it on the record how extensive the area the bolo went out to was? I mean, did it just go out to a 5-mile area?
The bolo he receives from his station from Lordsburg goes to every Border Patrol agent in the Lordsburg area.
Which is what? How large is that area?
Geographically, I mean, that isn't on the record either, Your Honor. So I don't know how I would, multiple counties, it's quite large.
Multiple counties
in New Mexico.
So miles and miles and miles. A lot of other people are getting this too. So should they also assume that should every officer assume that it's imminent for them that this vehicle is across the border is imminent for
vehicles.
Them? I mean, every officer that hears it should assume that means it's near them.
Agents on Highway 80 should, Your Honor, because the bolo indicates a northbound vehicle traveling up Highway 80.
Yeah, I understand they could be looking for it, but yeah.
These facts are on the record as well. Why Highway 80? It's the only paved road without a checkpoint coming from that southwestern area of New Mexico, southeastern part of Arizona. That's what the agent is doing. He was on Highway 80 at the time. He received the BOLO. He immediately started looking for a vehicle. This was the first vehicle he saw in 30 minutes while he was driving. Rodeo is described as a small village. He didn't recognize it as being local traffic. And when it comes to other aspects of the vehicle, the timing of the BOLO, I think it all plays in. I think, you know, the timing makes more sense, again, in the totality. And I don't know if it's the lower court writes about it too much, because I think the agent's testimony sort of clarifies that with an understanding of the region and an understanding, well, if a BOLO is put out to every agent in the Lordsburg area, the vehicle's probably in the Lordsburg area right now. Okay. Maybe it's not. And the matching of the description, I think, again, you know, in the appellate's brief, they accuse the lower court of not taking the totality and overemphasizing individual factors. That's what's written in the appellant's brief. I don't think that was a fair way to define it. The lower court devoted an entire section of its written opinion to that holistic analysis. It has a section titled "The Totality of the Circumstances Justified the Stop," where it combines all the information it needed and it gathered to make a coherent summary of its finding. You know, factual determinations, the court should accept them unless they're clearly erroneous. And with the evidence in the light most favorable to the prevailing party, I think the lower court's opinion, I think it sums up all the factors pretty well. And I see my time's about to conclude, so I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, counsel. Rebuttal.
Thank you. I believe we can meet the clearly erroneous standard with respect to the distance and timing issue. There just isn't enough in the record here. The agent could have expanded on his testimony on cross when he was asked, you know, do you know when this originated, this activity that was seen at the border, when it happened? And he testified that he receives BOLOs that don't give timing information, and he believed it was imminent. Our argument is that imminent goes to the activity that was observed at the Douglas station. The government's argument is that imminent goes to, you know, what he should have been looking for. And I think that's how we get to satisfying the clearly erroneous standard. There's not enough. The agent didn't give us enough to understand why he thought it was reasonable. He didn't testify that it's routinely, you know, an hour after activity that agents in the area where the person would be if they continued traveling down that route. We just don't have that. And I'd ask the court to compare this to U.S. v. Defendants Cortez and Hernandez Laura. This was a meticulous investigation by agents into a known smuggler, where there is significant discussion in the opinion about all the work that agents did to calculate distance and time of travel. You know, if we know that crossings occurred at this time and this is when we saw a vehicle last week, we're looking for this same guy. And so they calculated when they should be basically doing their sting operation to try to catch this vehicle. And they did end up catching him because they put in all of this investigative work on calculating.
Is this case, did you cite it in the brief?
Yes, we cited it in our brief, and it's two defendant names. I just didn't want to call it Cortez because we have another Cortez, but the second defendant is Hernandez Laura, yeah. And it's a Supreme Court case from 81. I'd like to just briefly discuss the issue of why the dust would be significant. The agent testified that a dusty vehicle was significant to him and the handprint was significant to him because, quote, somebody had to drive on a dirt road at some point, the tailgate had to have been opened, and then once something was put inside, somebody closed it with two hands, and the location indicated it was probably the driver doing it. So that's, again, a lot of sort of we're not sure language, and he's basically describing someone using a vehicle as it's intended. In this case, it's interesting because the agent also testified at the suppression hearing that he touched the vehicle on the back passenger tailgate, and that's just a law enforcement technique to get their, you know, fingerprint on the car. He didn't follow up that testimony by saying, and when I touched the vehicle, I could tell the dust was fresh. When I touched the vehicle, I could see my own handprint or I could see my palm print. I would submit that, you know, just to give sort of like a real world example, that handprint on the back vehicle is much more similar to us seeing a car driving down the road that has "wash me" on the back window. We don't know when that was put there. That can stay on a vehicle. You know, everybody's seen that. This could be very old dust that is dried and caked on. And so this is just another example of information that isn't included in the record to the extent that it would allow the court to find that it was not clearly erroneous for the district court to rely on that factor. There are no questions. I have nothing else. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you both. Appreciate your very, very good arguments. You're both excused and the case will be submitted.